You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic. I'm Tamer Lalana.
And I'm Matt Garasimovich.
And today we're covering part two, chapter 42 of Vasily Grossman's Life and Fate, continuing on with our experience of speaking about the people involved in the process of the gas chambers. Last time we covered the German private who was overseeing much of the work here. Today we're covering one, kind of two, presumably both Soviet prisoners who are actually responsible for the operation of the gas chamber, and their two different perspectives on the matter. Is there anywhere that you would like to begin here?
Yes. So we have these two characters today, as you kind of laid out, and we have one who more or less takes pleasure in what they're doing, and one who doesn't. That's what I'll kind of summarize it as. That's how I would describe it. And there is a little bit of a debate at the end of the chapter on what it means to be somebody who does not want to be doing what they're doing, broadly speaking, in a fascist system or any system, but especially here in a fascist system. And having even the slightest awareness that what you're doing is wrong, just the sort of, I mean, mental stress that it will put a person under is really harrowing to think about. And in this case, this last line from the chapter that I really liked, what was disturbing was that Zushinka's behavior could be explained by some terrible innate depravity, whereas he himself was still a human being. And he was dimly aware that if you wish to remain a human being under fascism, there is an easier option than survival, death. And this is such a really poignant and punchy way to put it, I think. Just this, that fascism really is trying to find and destroy any vestiges of that human element that it can. And that is, I think, kind of why the people who are depraved and have these really nasty, cruel characteristics are able to rise to the top of those systems, because they have no qualms with what they're doing. It just it doesn't bother them like it would bother a normal person. And so this is just a great chapter to come after yesterday's chapter in our discussion of this. And just a never-ending web of complexity for the types of people that Grossman is showing. Because even though he's showing types, there's still so many different nuances between them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it also continues on with the sort of conversation about morality that we've been having in the last few chapters, especially about morality in a camp. Whereas, especially when the question for basically all of these prisoners is, this moral question is effectively, in one sense, meaningless. Because in one sense, they're all going to die. So it doesn't matter what they choose, because they're going to die sooner or they're going to die later. Some of them draw their line in the sand very early on, Mikolnikov, and some of them, well, it's not entirely clear in there where their lines of the sand are. Whereas, you know, for example, you know, Zushchenko and Khmelnikov, these two have made a lot of compromises in order to survive. Right? We have this interesting in any other situation than this one. Khmelnikov would be sort of a hero, right? He'd fought off dozens of deaths from cold, from hunger, from bloody flux. He didn't want to fall to the ground with 9 grams of metal in his skull. He wasn't a criminal, just a hairdresser from the town of Kerchi. He's just an average person doing what he thinks he must to survive. But of course, where that leads him now is working in the gas chamber, putting many, many other people to death, right? And he's not a bad guy, right? He's not like Zuchenko, who is, I think, you know, by any standard, repulsive, right? He's takes some sort of glee in this in the mass murder of Jews. He's a rapist, all these things. But as Khmelnikov is aware of, he's not really any better because, sure, he doesn't do the same things Zuchenko does. Sure, he does understand that this is a horrible thing, but does it matter? As he says, whatever the differences are between them, they're doing the exact same thing. So what did it matter, quote, if one felt happy and the other felt sad? And, you know, that leads into that line that you were thinking of or that you mentioned earlier, where I think when you're talking about Ikhonikov and Mostovskoy and their two different methods, Mostovskoy having sort of some compromises in order to strike back, and Ikhonikov willing to die meaninglessly if it means you don't give up your morals. Well, we understand that there's, of course, many other options, which is there's principled compromise, and then there's this sort of compromise, wherein I think the narrator in no uncertain terms tells you it would really be better to die than to do this.
I think that that's true, and I think I'm not sure that that's like the takeaway from the book necessarily, but I will say that from my view, Ikhonikov is one of the few characters who is able to assert this sort of freedom of choice, whereas a lot of these other characters are sort of railroaded into a certain course of action just trying to survive. And that is a slow stripping away of their humanity. Ikhonikov, I'd say, completely retains that humanity, though he dies, so it's really hard to reconcile that and to say that that's like it's hard to advise that as a course of action, basically, is what I'm saying. As with all of the Grossman chapters, I would end by saying I don't know best.
What is the best way? We don't know, but for sure, I think Grossman is telling us what the worst way is. And the worst, you know, I think there are certain circumstances where it is a little unequivocal that, what's the best way? I don't know. But certainly there are better ways than choosing to survive by working the gas chamber, for example, killing yourself.
Right.
And I actually, on this sort of dour note, I also wanted to go to a response from Dominique in the Discord today, who says, Grossman, just going to keep kicking us while we're down, I see. Fair enough.
Just going to keep kicking us downhill to the end of the book, basically.
pretty much. Well, I think that's about all I had wanted to speak about tonight, unless there's anything else you wanted to cover.
No, that's all I had tonight. So in that case, I think you will hear from us again soon.